B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
First time?
Uh-huh.
You?
Six.
And scene. Welcome into a Gasperless Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris, out of town, so you got me, Jim Murray, taking you up until 1 o'clock when the New England Revolution take on the Atlanta United in the first round of the MLS playoffs. You can catch it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, that clip you just heard, in case you have yet to see it, a cameo by Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in the first episode of Paul Rudd's new Netflix series, Living With Yourself. That's what it's called, Living With Yourself. Seems pretty harmless, right? Yeah, sure. Again, if you haven't seen this thing, it seems innocuous, but if you have yet to see this clip, the scene actually shows Rudd's character arriving at a strip mall massage parlor called Top Happy Spa, complete with a few written Chinese characters on the sign of Top Happy Spa. Might as well say, I don't know, Orchids of Asia Day Spa. But be that as it may, Rudd's character sitting in his vehicle, debating on whether or not to go inside this Top Happy Spa. And then, wouldn't you know who exits that spa happily, like he just had a release of some kind. Might have just been a deep tissue massage, who knows. That would be Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who then looks at Rudd, his character, and asks if he's visiting for the first time. And then Rudd's character again asks back, how many for you? Six. How many Super Bowl championships does Tom Brady and the Patriots now have? Six. Huh. If you haven't seen this, again, I've pinned it on my Twitter page, at Big Jim Murray. There's two M's in there. At Big Jim Murray. And if not there, I'm sure it's all up in your feed or been sent to you by now. Not much shocks me in the world anymore, really. Like, I don't know. So it's like I'm dead inside. I really am. This shocked me, especially considering how I randomly came across this after dinner last night with the wife, slight buzz on, simply out of boredom and curiosity because there is some buzz surrounding this show. I like Paul Rudd. Think he's funny. What the hell, I'll throw it on. So I'm like half out of it, half asleep. Again, cheap buzz. 15 minutes into this thing. What? Huh? What the hell was... Huh? What did I just see? What? It's basically been the reaction that I've had since I had to get up and quickly video this and put it on my Twitter page because I'm a whore for likes. And that's, I feel like, most reaction from people. That, huh? What the... Who? How did that... Huh? What? Huh? Yeah. I mean, the show is just fine anyway, if you're just wondering. I wouldn't put that much into it, but you want to see this clip. You do. Because why in the hell did Tom Brady agree to do this? When you, again, need I remind you, you have the team owner, your boss, Tom, Robert Kraft, involved in legal battles over evidence and police records related to the case of, what was that again? Soliciting prostitution, basically in a place you just pretended to walk out of. What did I just see? This was fake, right? Like, you made this up, Murray. No, it's from a Netflix show with Paul Rudd. Again, it's called Living With Yourself. You should see it for yourself. So, what? I just want to know what he's thinking. Like, was this a shot? He's obviously been a bit of a disgruntled employee, right? Like, Tom Brady, I think we can agree on that, has been a bit of a disgruntled employee as of late, what with the contract negotiations, the complaining about the lack of weapons, the whole attitude of, and I quote, hey, don't ask me, I just work here, which is, and I've said it before when I've been on with Felger and Maz, that's a line of a checked out Jim Murray. Like, when I've worked in the past, when you get a, I don't know, just don't ask me, I just work here, when you get that from me or anyone else, you have a disgruntled employee. So Brady is right now, I think, a little miffed. For myriad reasons. So, was this a shot? It feels like a shot. Or, you know, if you want to look at the positive side of things, maybe he let ownership know about this. He went to Robert, said he was going to be doing it, and Robert Kraft laughed it off. I can't imagine that Robert Kraft would have, and I'll get to that in a second. I don't really think he'd be all that thrilled with this. But more than anything else, Brady has to know how bad this looks, right? He supposedly has a press conference because everything's kind of shifted this week. He normally does it on the Friday. He's doing it today because they have the Monday night game coming up against the Jets. He's doing it today at 1:45. At the very least, he knows he's going to be asked about this, right? Like, do you have your prepared answer? Do you have your stock answer ready for the fact you're going to get peppered with this? Dude, what? Why did you film yourself and agree to do this when you're walking out of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge day spa called Top Happy Spa? Again, with the Chinese characters written on the sign, it might as well have said Orchids of Asia Day Spa. So get ready for that, Tom. You know that's coming in a couple of hours. I hope you know that. So what the hell were you thinking? Was it a bit? Is it a shot? And so there's conflicting reports as to when this thing was filmed. I had a few people tweeting at me last night with screen caps of the director of this show saying it was filmed last year. And then I had a random dude hit me up saying his wife worked at the spot that it was filmed. And that was filmed 2 months ago. So I was reading from Mark Daniels here, who tweeted this. Mark Daniels covers the Patriots, beat guy for the Providence Journal. According to a website, Refinery29, apparently it's like Cosmopolitan, either way, Refinery29, they say the scene was conceived and Tom Brady was approached before the spa scandal occurred. Okay, so that lines up with some of the stuff I've been sent over the last 12 to 24 hours, whatever it is. But the quarterback chose to go ahead and participate in the project anyway after the news broke. Oh, okay, that's not good. So again, reading from Refinery29, Brady was interested, but it was football season. This is from, and now here's the quote from the creator, Timothy Greenberg. Quote, so we were waiting and waiting and waiting for the Patriots to finish their run, and then, sure enough, they won again. A long-suffering Jets fan, Timothy Greenberg said, of the Patriots' 2019 Super Bowl win. Okay. During this waiting period, news also broke that had them convinced they were going to lose Brady for this scene. Of course, as we know, Patriots owner Robert Kraft, charged with soliciting a sex worker at a day spa in a strip mall. The creator of the show says, quote, that looked almost exactly what we were shooting. Well, exactly like what we were shooting. Like, I would have used it as a reference photo, Greenberg admits. So we were like, all right, this is clearly not going to happen now. But it did. So again, if you're going to try to send me these screen caps of the director saying, well, it was shot in 2018. Okay, that was the plan. But they waited for the Patriots season to wrap up. And the director says, quote, it looked exactly almost like what we were shooting, where Robert Kraft was pinched. Like, I would have used that as a reference photo. We were like, all right, this is clearly not going to happen now. You get that? They started the filming in 2018. It was written in 2018. They had to wait till the Patriots Super Bowl run was over. Robert Kraft allegedly had this solicitation take place after the AFC Championship game, had to wait after that. The director thought it wasn't going to happen now because Brady had agreed to do the scene. It was in mind, but you can't do that now. It's going to be a bad look for you, Tom. You're not going to do it, right? No, he did it. He did it. He filmed this after the case had broke, after the news came out about Robert Kraft. And again, the whole joke in the scene is he's been to the spa six times. The Patriots have won six Super Bowls. He filmed it after the Super Bowl win. He filmed it after the news of Robert Kraft's solicitation, alleged solicitation, broke. As I said with Felgren Mazin when that whole story broke anyway, like, I'm no prude. Crimes of vice, like, I don't care. I really don't. As long as, you know, doesn't involve like kids, animals, like any of that kind of thing. The crimes of vice, whatever. Like, it happens. But if your employee kind of mocks a situation like this, which I think has obviously made Robert Kraft uncomfortable since this came to light, it's a bad look. What are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking? And you can't write this off as, it's just a bit, and I'm sure Robert's in on it. Then why wouldn't Robert Kraft bring Antonio Brown back? And never mind all the fact that, you know, Antonio Brown is an impulsive, just chaotic disaster, and he was going to get himself in trouble. I didn't think it was going to happen in 11 days that he joined the team, but that was all a matter of time before he got himself in trouble and couldn't help himself because he's just an agent of chaos, is Antonio Brown. And he continued to do that after he was cut by taking a shot at the owner for going to the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. And after that, there was the report from Adam Schefter saying, yeah, good luck getting your money now. Basically, over Robert Kraft's dead body, are you going to be back on this team after he takes the shot about the solicitation case in Florida at the owner? We're not bringing you back. Last straw. You don't take that shot at me. I'm the boss. I'm dealing with this. It's a uncomfortable situation. Shame that it came to light in terms of Robert Kraft, and sure, maybe the legacy or his name maybe takes a little bit of a hit, not in my eyes, but in some people's. So no, you take that shot, you're not coming back. Now your most important player, the quarterback, the most important piece here for the last 20 years, does this scene? It's kind of one and the same to me. He can't be happy about this. He can't be. There's no way. What the hell was Brady thinking? Why would you agree to do this? After the fact, okay, yep, you can make the case. Well, you know, they were talking about shooting this in 2018. They had to wait until the postseason run. The thing happened with Robert Kraft in the before the AFC Championship game. They had to wait till that was over. The story broke, and Brady still agreed to do it. It's a shot. It's a shot. He's been the disgruntled employee. He's been acting like a grumpy Gus for quite some time, and now you can just add this to the pile as well. What the hell was Brady thinking agreeing to do this? So get ready for it, Tom. About 2 hours, 2.5 hours from now, you're going to get peppered with questions as to why you agreed to do a scene in Paul Rudd's new Netflix series, Living With Yourself, about 15, 20 minutes in. Shocking. It really is. It not much shocks me. This shocked me. And if you haven't seen it yet, it'll shock you too. Tom Brady walking out of what is, for all intents and purposes, the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, mocking his boss in this scene. Not a good look, Tom. Not a good look at all. No. Patriots do still have this game to play, obviously. We are going to get a preview from the Jets side of things from Manish Mehta. I want to know what he thinks of this, too. By now, he has to have seen this. He also had spoke to a former Patriots receiver here for a minute, Demaryius Thomas, who got caught in the crunch with Antonio Brown, that whole thing. He's going to join the show next here on a Gasperless Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. All right, bit of a technical difficulty there. Caught up in the wash. That was Bill Belichick talking about Demaryius Thomas. Kind of an honest answer from him. You usually don't get, you know, him being that open, talking about a player that's no longer part of the team. Demaryius Thomas, now a member of the New York Jets. And to talk a little bit more about that and the Jets' perspective heading into Monday night's game here on Gasper and Murray without Chris Gasper today, it is Manish Mehta, who covers the Jets for the New York Daily News, joins us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So, Manish, you broke this story this week that Demaryius Thomas, his time with the Patriots was a, quote, waste of time. Were you surprised that Belichick actually spoke as much as he did on this whole thing after this story broke?
I was, because just as you said, Jimmy, typically Belichick steers clear of that kind of stuff, gives a one-word answer, if that. I think it just kind of speaks to the respect level that Demaryius Thomas has across the league. He obviously has a longstanding relationship with Josh McDaniels. And I want to be clear that when I did speak to Thomas, he wasn't really angry. And that wasn't really the tone of the conversation. It was more of a matter-of-fact situation. Like, look, I trusted this organization after they cut me because they said, we're going to bring you back and you're going to be a part of our team. And this isn't, you know, a guy off the street. This is an accomplished player who was rehabbing from injury. He complimented the Patriots for helping him get back to speed earlier than, frankly, anybody thought, because when he signed with New England, he told me that the plan originally was to put him on PUP to start the season. But because he came back, obviously did well in that fourth preseason game against the Giants, they accelerated the timeline. So the waste of time, I think, specifically was about that period of time where he was in limbo, and then that week or so he spent after he was re-signed before they traded him. I don't think that he believed that the Patriots were forthright, but no, I will give Bill Belichick credit for explaining it as best as I guess Bill Belichick could in a public setting. He basically took ownership for changing what he had said to Demaryius Thomas because circumstances, i.e. Antonio Brown, came along.
Yeah, I had to figure a veteran that's been around the league as long as Demaryius Thomas has, like, knows how cold the business can be. I do have one question, though. When you did talk to him, because there is a quote from him that starts with, we got too many guys, when Belichick came up to him, was he doing an impersonation of Belichick there, or is that just...
No. He was not. Just kind of the way he talks.
Okay.
I don't think it was meant any kind of slight in that way. But look, he's a prideful guy, Jim. I mean, you're talking about a guy who should understand the business, and I'm sure that he does. But when you have a five-time Pro Bowl player, an accomplished player like him, I think he just felt that he should have been treated a little bit differently than it ultimately played out.
I get the impression just from reading you that you love Sam Darnold. You think he is legit. I tend to agree, too. I mean, like, he's back from mono. He's a good game against Dallas last week. So do you think just with him being back, this is going to be more of a competitive game Monday?
I do. You know, I think it'll be a fourth quarter game. Now, this is obviously the biggest challenge that he'll have faced in his career in terms of quality of defense. That being said, I do think that this is probably the most formidable quarterback that the Patriots have faced since week one when they went up against Big Ben. Not to take that much away from who they've played over the past five games, but I do think that Sam Darnold is clearly better than Josh Allen and obviously Luke Falk and the Miami quarterback. So it'll be a good test for Darnold. I would be surprised, frankly, with the way that this offense can be with him, coupled with the way that Greg Williams' defense has played the last few weeks, if this were not a competitive game. I don't think you're going to see any kind of repeat from what you saw in Foxborough in week three.
How big is it that linebacker C.J. Mosley is going to be back for this?
Oh, it's tremendous for Greg Williams. He, in essence, is the quarterback of this defense. He not only makes the calls, but he makes the proper checks after the calls are already in when he looks at what Brady is going to, you know, set up with. So Neville Hewitt, the guy who replaced C.J. Mosley, you know, had some growing pains early on. I think he got better over the course of the past month or so, but he's no C.J. Mosley. So having Mosley back is critical to this defense, not only for Monday night, but for moving forward for the rest of the season with this team.
Talking to Manish Mehta, covers the Jets for New York Daily News here on Gaspar Murray. So as much as I get the impression that you like Darnold, I feel the opposite. You feel like the opposite about Adam Gase. Is he the right coach for this team?
Well, he has a lot of good ideas. When he was hired, I was very vocal about how I thought that he would be very helpful for Sam Darnold. I still believe that he'll be good for Sam Darnold. That being said, I think Sam Darnold is destined for great things, regardless of who the coach is. You saw that even at the end of his rookie season, barring, you know, that with the exception, I should say, of that Week 17 game in Foxborough, he was tremendous, and they fired the coaches who were coaching him back then. So I think he's on a natural path to be a difference maker in this league. That being said, Adam Gase does have some good ideas. I think he's a creative guy. You know, my concerns with Adam Gase from what I've seen over the past six or so months is, can he really be the face of your franchise? Can he handle things in a professional, mature way? I think he's trying to work on it. This offseason was not a good look for him. Clearly, the way he handled himself as a leader, at least publicly in Miami, wasn't nearly good enough. And I thought that he could grow and evolve and, you know, change important things about his, you know, his leadership style, I guess I should say. And he's working on it. That's all I can tell you. But just from an X's and O's offensive standpoint, I think he'll be good for the quarterback.
Well, on the immaturity thing, like, does he forget he has Le'Veon Bell? Is there, like, spite going on there? Because there's, you know, reports he never even wanted him in the first place. It just, it feels like he's being underutilized on that offense.
Well, look, I think he was overutilized when Darnold was out. It was too reliant on Bell, too predictable. Clearly, he didn't have the number of touches last week that he had when Darnold was out. I don't think there's any kind of residual angst having him on the team. In fact, I think it's the opposite because, yes, the reality of the matter is that Adam Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell because he doesn't think that he needs that type of player in the backfield. He likes to spread it around. If you look at his success in Denver, you know, five, six guys were touching the ball. And I think that ideally that's what he wants to do. He wants to threaten defenses with multiple players. So you can't key on one specific guy. It's a very Bill Belichick type of, you know, feel to it. But the fact that he has Le'Veon Bell now, you know, I think he's opened his Gase's eyes in some respects and saying, hey, look, this guy's a dynamic player. I have to get him more involved in a lot of different ways. And that just means just turning around and handing the ball off to him. It's, you know, getting him the ball into space, you know, as a pass catcher, whether it's out of the backfield or lined up in the slot or even lined up outside the numbers. So I think that, you know, that is also kind of a work in progress. But I definitely don't believe that he's shunning Le'Veon Bell in any way simply because he didn't want him 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay. All right. So I do feel we're probably going to get a better game on Monday night. I get the impression you feel the same way. But before I let you go, have you seen the clip of Brady from that Paul Rudd show on Netflix?
I have. Apparently he wasn't aware that it was going to be used or something to that. I mean, it's a little gray area for me. I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah.
I was
right.
Shocked, as I'm sure everybody up there is shocked, that the quarterback evidently is poking fun at the owner, but maybe, you know, maybe he got Robert Kraft's blessings, or maybe he thought it was going to be used in a different manner. But just on its face, in a vacuum, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it is funny, but yeah, we're trying to figure out like the timeline a little bit more. There's now reports that it was filmed after the Super Bowl, so that's after the case broke. So, you know, he did it. It's just, I don't know. It is funny on the one hand, but the other, it's like, dude, what are you thinking? All right, Manish Mehta coming to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, covers the Jets for New York Daily News. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you.
Anytime. Manish Mehta, again, covers the Jets. If you want to follow him on Twitter or chirp at him because he's fun like that, at MMehtaNYDN on Twitter. All right, your calls, your thoughts on the Tom Brady appearance in this Paul Rudd Netflix show last night. I don't want to come off as a prude. Like, it is funny. But, dude, what the hell are you thinking? Like, you've kind of had this whole attitude that you've been a little bit pissed off this year, or a little more than pissed off. You don't like the weapons. Hey, I just work here. This is like a shot at the boss. The boss. You still got to answer to him. Not really that good of a look. Your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985. Also want to get into some of the trades that went down in the NFL this week. And Michael Bennett, does he have one foot out the door? Because his snaps are getting decreased by the week. Sounds like he could be moved for the Patriots as well. We'll get to all of that after the Sports Hub headlines here with Mike O'Brien, Gasper Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Atlanta might have made sense because Dan Quinn coached Michael Bennett in Seattle, right?
Yes.
So that's one that could make sense. You could make the argument Gus Bradley with the Chargers, if they needed something to rejuvenate their defense, kind of give them a spark, maybe that would be another one. They've got some depth at receiver, so maybe that would be one. Again, that's a team that's in the AFC, so you might be reluctant to do that.
What about Falcons?
The Falcons, the thing about the Falcons is they're 1-5 right now. And are they really going to be selling out? Why would Atlanta want to do that?
Well, that was when we talked about it yesterday.
I mean, Sanu. I think Sanu is in play. By the way, like, I would tell you right now, like, I think there's a chance Sanu could be a Patriot in 2 weeks.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. Chris off today. Show only goes till 1 as well. Got the first Sports of Celtic show of the year coming up just about 20 minutes as well. But we are only on until 1 today, as the New England Revolution have a playoff match against Atlanta coming up at 1 if you want to catch that. But that was Bert Breer on with Zolak and Bertrand earlier this week. And talking about the potential trade suitors, I guess, for Michael Bennett, who feels like he's got one foot out the door with his snaps going down in recent weeks. Also mentioned at the end there that Atlanta Falcons receiver Mohamed Sanu, you could probably see him in a Patriots uniform between now and the trade deadline, which I'm all for. Like, I do feel like some moves, plural, need to be made here. Specifically, I'm more about the offensive line than anything else. That to me feels like that could be the Achilles heel for the Patriots, and that could be the thing that trips them up in their efforts to try to get a 7th Super Bowl championship. Especially, it's not even the guys that are like the off the street guys, your Marshall Newhouses of the world, who, I mean, what do you expect? This is what, his 8th team? Like, guys like that are going to suck. What's bugged me about the offensive line so far this year, and I get it, they're 6-0, I know, but let's not pretend the offense doesn't have issues. It's the guys you can normally trust on the right side of the line, like Marcus Cannon, who at times has looked like a complete sieve. Shaq Mason looks like he's playing on one leg. It's the guys you can trust that haven't been all that great either. So I'd like to see some depth there. If you can somehow convince those a-holes with the Washington Redskins to trade Trent Williams, like they're just spitefully not trading him, that would be the move that I want to see them make. But you bring in a wide receiver, help the depth there. Mohamed Sanu, Rutgers guy. You know how a Rutgers guy can fit here. And I like him anyway. And I think last I checked, he's the leading receiver for the Falcons this year anyway. 1-5 team. They stink, but he's good. So yeah, whatever you can do. But Michael Bennett, the Michael Bennett thing, I just, between this and the in this Tom Brady video thing that dropped last night with the Paul Rudd show on Netflix, it's just, man, especially in the last decade, is it possible for this team to have like a week without off-field distraction or just self-generated nonsense? And maybe it motivates him. I don't know, but it just feels like it's always something. I thought it was just going to be a Michael Bennett thing because news comes out. He's suspended for this game coming up on Monday night against the Jets. Why? Well, he got into it with defensive line coach Brett Bielema last Friday. Part of me respects that. Like, on the one hand, like, I think it's a bad look for Brady to do this video after the fact that the Kraft news came out at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Like, what are you doing? That's the boss. You're the most important piece. Kind of looks bad. Bennett getting into it with Bielema, who I kind of think is a bobo anyway. Like, one of just gets that job simply out of nepotism from Bill Belichick? I don't know. When you know you got one foot out the door, they're not using you enough, you got to fly off the handle? I kind of respect that. But either way, feels like he's going to be traded. 11 snaps in this last game against the New York Giants, which feels like it's now a month ago. I had high expectations for Bennett. At the very least, I thought he was going to be a good stopgap for one season after they move on from Trey Flowers, who goes to the Lions in the offseason. I thought he was going to put up big numbers. And even if he is going to have a decreased role, I'd still like to have him, in terms of his ability, over someone like Adam Butler, who's having a good season, or John Simon going after a more mobile quarterback. I would put Patrick Mahomes into that, but, you know, post his injury, not so much. But at least Deshaun Watson. There's more talent. From a talent standpoint, Michael Bennett is a better player. I think you're better off having him just in terms of insurance and a depth piece going forward. But if they're going to trade him, like, what's the return going to be? I mean, it's going to be something less than, you know, what you gave up for, like a sixth-round pick, and you're just doing it to free up money. Like, that doesn't really make any sense to me. So that whole thing is strange. But we've already had moves already. You know, we're a couple of weeks from the trade deadline, and you had a couple of big moves already made by some teams. Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, finally goes from Jacksonville. He goes to the Rams. Marcus Peters, the Strangler, as he's so affectionately known, goes from the Rams to the Baltimore Ravens. If nothing else, I think the good thing is, in terms of the Patriots, it's seemingly an indication we're going to have a pretty active trade deadline in the NFL, and I think that bodes well for the Pats and Pats fans hoping they're going to add a lineman like I want or a wide receiver. Or, hey, maybe even a tight end, Tyler Eifert. Off-brand brittle grunk with the Cincinnati Bengals, and that team's going nowhere. See if you can, you know, get him out of there and add him to this team, because I think you could use, you can use any help at tight end. All right, they bring Ben Watson back. I thought that was cold the way that they ended up handling that whole thing, but okay, he's back too, but I don't know. You need more help here on that side of the ball. And just quickly on the Rams thing with Ramsey, like, I love Ramsey, but I just don't understand how that really helps the Rams. It doesn't really make them the most dangerous team in the conference. Doesn't make them a legit Super Bowl contender. It still leaves them, to me, as the third best team in their own division. I like the Seahawks. The Niners are legit, at least defensively. And the Rams, like, I don't know. It doesn't help them this year. In regard to the future, I still don't think that they're winning anything. You had your best shot last year, and you blew it. You still got football Pinocchio as your quarterback. Jared Goff, he stinks. And if he can't figure out a defense without daddy screaming in his ear, and that thing shuts off after, what, 15 seconds? He's screwed. God, I'm so right about that guy, and I feel so good. But I think it's overall like a hell of a haul for the Jaguars. You know, the Rams continue trending the way that they're going. There's a good chance that first rounder next year ends up in the top 10. Two first-round picks? Seems high. Again, I like Ramsey, but that seems real high. But that seems to be the going rate for players. You know, like players of name. You have Khalil Mack, Raiders to the Bears last year. This year, Laremy Tunsil goes from the Dolphins to the Texans, a couple of first-rounders, and now Ramsey, Jaguars to the Rams. If nothing else, like I said, though, I think it bodes well for the Patriots going forward. They're going to make a move. There's been too many rumblings from people that cover the team that you trust, from Breer to Jeff Howe to others. Like, something's going to happen here, I hope. You want to join the show, 617-779-0985, whether it's on the Brady video, Michael Bennett, anything Patriots-related as we head into this game against the Jets on Monday night, 617-779-0985. We will get to your calls in the Patrick Mahomes injury on Thursday night and what that means for the Pats and the league. Next, here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth down, less than a yard. DeMarcus Robinson comes in motion, and Mahomes sneaks it, and somebody better guard that ankle. Looks like it's a first down on the quarterback sneak by Patrick Mahomes. Is he off the field? He is not. He might be hurt, Kendall.
Oh, no.
As he went on the quarterback sneak, he is down on his left hip, and he has taken his helmet off.
This is clearly something very bad.
There was not much additional damage, not significant additional damage to Patrick Mahomes. The plan, as of late last night, was for him to miss at least 3 weeks. He is going to seek additional opinions, but at the very least, the early returns are extremely good for Kansas City.
So that was the call from Kansas City Radio, followed by Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, with, I guess, the best possible news and the best possible scenario for Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who went down after going for a quarterback sneak on fourth and one in the Chiefs' eventual win over the Denver Broncos. And poof, that outfit, how the hell did they even have two wins on Thursday night? This is bad for the league. The NFL, despite the fact that it keeps getting watered down year after year, and it, you know, is a shell of what it was when, even 5 years ago, never mind like the back in my day stuff, like the game just gets watered down by the year. But they got me over a barrel, like most people. I love the NFL, I do, and I want the league to be at its best, which means you want the best players on the field. Injuries happen, that's the game, violent sport, blah, blah, blah. But this was just such a weird freak thing that happened on Thursday night, and it sucks because I do enjoy watching the kid play. I do. And I just, despite the good news in terms of, you know, it's a dislocated kneecap, sounds like he could be back in a matter of 3 to 4 weeks. They'll put a brace on it, and, you know, monitor him there. I think like most NFL fans, like, who's the first person that comes to mind when you see an injury like that and who gets rushed back? It's Robert Griffin III in 2012 with the Redskins, who comes in, like Mahomes, a phenom, and looks like the, you know, the great white whale, the next great quarterback. Blows out his knee, gets rushed back by that idiot franchise, and that's it. Poof. Now he's a backup for Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens, and he was an also-ran. Like, I fear that happening long-term with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and I get it. Like, they still have Super Bowl aspirations this year. He's coming off the MVP season, but they'd be crazy to do this. I think you have to look longer-term here. They had taken two bad losses at home. He was already nursing an ankle injury. Their defense is maybe even worse than last year's, if that was possible. Were they 29th overall? You can run it right down their throat. They have an okay pass rush. Secondary's meh. They go from Bob Sutton, who gets fired, to what's his name? It was on the Giants in 07. Either way, they replace Bob Sutton with a defensive coordinator who's just meh and doesn't really make that much of a change. The Italian guy. Help me out here, Mike O'Brien. Did you look it up?
I am doing so right now.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. The Chiefs defense thing. So, like, I don't know. They should be a little bit more realistic in what they're...
Spagnuolo.
Steve Spagnuolo. Thank you very much. Sorry. I was having a brain fart. They should be realistic about what their, you know, the reality of what their, you know, season is and the way it's been playing out. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say it's lost, but you're losing it by the week in terms of seeding in the conference, being home. So don't... The bigger point here is this. If I'm the Chiefs, like, don't rush Mahomes back. Don't be looking at this as, like, a 4 to 5 week window. Don't try to rush him back so that he plays against the Patriots in that primetime game. You can't do it. You're going to risk your future here. And this guy, in the league, too, in a way, should call the Hunt family, should be in touch with Andy Reid and, you know, kind of give the old nudge into the sides, being like, hey, you know. We need this, too. It's not just for the Chiefs. The league needs Patrick Mahomes. So let's not rush him back and ruin his career like the Redskins did with Robert Griffin III. The other big news of the day, which happened overnight, and yay me. This thing's racking up views like you wouldn't believe on my Twitter page, at Big Jim Murray. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. He shows up in the first episode of Paul Rudd's new Netflix series, Living With Yourself, where... Rudd's character arrives at a strip mall massage parlor called Top Happy Spa, complete with a few written Chinese characters on the sign. Might as well say, said it earlier, might as well read on the sign, Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Rudd's character debates whether or not to go inside, and who happily exits that spa? It's Brady, who asks Rudd if he's visiting for the first time. Kind of a bad look. Hilarious on the one end. Again, don't want to come off as a prude. Very funny. But in terms of the timing, and now we find out that this was filmed after the fact that we find out the Patriots owner Robert Kraft, allegedly, had the whole issue with the Orchids of Asia Day Spa down in Florida. Brady still goes with this. I would think if you want to be the consummate professional, the good employee, you say, yes, while funny, director of this show and Paul Rudd, while funny, I'm going to have to pass because otherwise this will look like a bad look and it might piss off the owner. Because if I'm Robert Kraft, I don't know why would you like this? Why would you go along with this? And there's no way that he can. There's no way that he can like this. And what I said earlier, and I'll say it again, like, proof of that is the way that you hear how pissed he was with Antonio Brown taking shots at Robert Kraft after he was cut on Twitter, because that's what Antonio Brown does. He's impulsive, he's an a-hole, he's an idiot, and that's what he was doing. And you hear from Adam Schefter that, you know, like, good luck, Antonio Brown, trying to get that money after you take those shots. Kraft can't be happy about this. Brady should have known better. I just think it's a bad look. So your thoughts on this? We'll go to Frank the Tank. You're up here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Murray, what's going on, brother?
Hey.
Listen, look, first off, real quick on Mahomes. I mean, the kid is, I mean, he's phenomenal. I love watching him play. But, you know, I already think the Kansas City's dumb to begin with, letting him QB sneak, you know, when he's already nursing an ankle injury. I mean, they do have to think about long-term and the rest of the season because they're not out of it. Any smart football fan should know they're not out of it. So I think they should let him sit out until after the bye week if they're smart. If you had one choice, Murray, lineman, tight end, or wide receiver to get at the trade deadline, you'd only have one choice. Which one would you take? And real quick, I'll tell you which one I want before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have a tight end, I guess, for the simple fact that I think Skarnecchia can handle the offensive line throughout the season. I think they'll get better, and especially if Wynn comes back. But I would like to see a decent pass-catching tight end to help out Tom Brady. I think he's much better in the offense with a pass-catching tight end. Have a good weekend, Murray.
You too, Frank. Thanks. Yeah, if I can only pick one, I said it earlier, it's offensive lineman, specifically Trent Williams, which feels like a pipe dream because, again, teams have called. I think it was John Dorsey, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, went on record earlier this week saying, like, yeah, I've talked to Bruce Allen, the a-hole GM of the Redskins. I'm paraphrasing. And said, like, yeah, no, they're still not going to move him. Why? For spite. That basically, they're just trying to screw the player because that's the kind of organization the Washington Redskins is. It's owned by an a-hole. It's run by a-holes. They're spitefully hanging on to the player just to screw him. So if you could get Trent Williams somehow, convince him. You know, it seems like the going rate for a named player is now two first-round picks. Laremy Tunsil. This week it's Jalen Ramsey goes from the Jags to the Rams. Yeah, I would give up the two first-round picks. Why not? You know, you're all in now. You got the 42-year-old quarterback. We want to climb the stairway to seven, yeah. Like, I think we all want to see that. And that seems to be the weakest link on this team, offensive line, specifically left tackle. And I don't really trust Isaiah Wynn. I know he's coming back. Oh, no, another couple of weeks, he'll be back. Eh. Do you trust him to stay healthy? I don't. So lineman, that's what I want. Tom and Braintree on that Brady appearance of the Paul Rudd Show. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Murray, what's happening?
Hey.
I agree with you totally on AB. I can't stand the guy. And I couldn't agree more on Mahomes. I think Reed's a fool. But on Brady, even though I love your wit and your sarcasm, I think you mistook that show last night with Paul Rudd, Living With Yourself. When he asked Brady if he was in there before, if this was his first time, he looked at him, I think he even winked, and he said, no, this is my sixth. Meaning, this is the way I took it, was every time he wins a Super Bowl, he goes in and becomes a brand new Brady because they were cloning him.
Right, and Tom, and it's a good point, and I know I've had this tweeted to me too, and thank you for the call. Yeah, so the premise of the show, spoiler, is that what the spa does is actually not give it the old, it clones you. Like, that's the premise of the show. You know, Paul Rudd's character is cloned, so Brady is cloned. But, I mean, it's an Asian day spa. That's where the owner went. It basically looks like the same thing. It's a strip mall. So at the very least, okay, so the thing was written. I do take the director of this show as word. This was written and ready to be produced in the middle of 2018, before that news broke. But then the news breaks, and they wait to film after the Super Bowl, after the alleged events took place in Florida at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa with Robert Kraft. And the director is quoted saying, like, well, after that, we figured, oh, we're not going to be able to film this now. And Brady still agreed. He still agreed after the fact. You get it just from the optics of it. The optics aren't good. Funny, yes. Again, don't want to come off as a prude. Don't ever want to be looked at as that. But in terms of, again, just like all the nonsense that seems to surround this team week to week, and maybe it helps to motivate them. Hell, it probably does, considering the two decades of dominance. Just, it's, what are you doing? What are you doing, especially when you're being looked at by people like myself and the rest of us a-holes in media and some of the more, I think, objective fans? Like, you're coming off as a bit of a bitch this year, dude. Like, you're complaining about everything. You're coming off as a disgruntled employee. The right thing to do here to not piss off ownership and to not have the bad optics of this is to go to the director and say, look, it's funny, but I'm going to have to pass. I just don't think that would be that great. So get ready, Tom. About an hour and a half when you hold your press conference. Get ready for these questions. Quickly, Tony in the truck on Brady and Mahomes.
Hey, Murray. Hey, I just want to call in and say, we've gotten pretty lucky here. You know, injury bug has gone around the league. You know, it just happened to Patrick Mahomes. But realistically, that could have been Tom Brady with his, like, four QB sneaks he had that last game. I mean, with his kneecaps, he's a fossil. How long would he have been out? And what do you think the Pats would do if he does get injured?
Oh, Tony, and thanks for that. I don't even want to think about it. I think they're screwed. I'm not like, Felger when I'm in with Felger and Maz. He still thinks that they would be, the best team in the AFC East and probably in the conference, and they'd still, probably get to the AFC Championship game with Jared Stidham. I don't think that at all. Even though it's a down year for the offense as a whole, you then add Stidham to that? Oh, God, no. As great as the defense is, no, I think they'd be completely screwed, and you can forget about winning another Super Bowl. But it did have me rethinking quarterback sneaks. I was bitching about them in the game, in the Redskins game, going back a few weeks. I think it was a fourth and long one. They do the direct snap to James White. That gets blown up, and I was sitting here the next day on Monday saying, like, why wouldn't they go with the most nails play in the last 20 years of Patriots offense? Go with Tom Brady in the QB sneak. Rah, rubble, rubble, rubble. I hated that play call. Rah, rah, rah. Well, after seeing that with Thursday night and what happened to Mahomes, all right, maybe we don't need as many QB sneaks. Calm down with those, Tom. You don't need to get those just because you got to, like, prove to them. See, I can't throw for the touchdowns against the Giants, but I can still run for them. Rah! No, don't do that. All right, we'll pause this conversation. We've got 1 hour to go as we get ready for the first Sports Hub Celtics show of the season. We're going to get to that next of the Sports Hub headlines here with Mike O'Brien.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.